Join the Toronto Holocaust Museum and its partners for a community-wide Yom HaShoah commemoration on Sunday, May 5th. A moving evening of film, candlelighting, music, and a tribute to survivors we've recently lost. Keynote speaker Yoni Berus from Yad Vashem will reflect on Holocaust remembrance post-October 7th. The program is at Beth Emeth Synagogue at 7 p.m. Register at torontoholocaustmuseum.org.
I can promise you that every day that I sit in Parliament, I will remind everybody from every political party that the Jewish community has every right to live safely in this country. And over the next 18 months, as the Prime Minister has now tasked me with dealing with anti-Semitism, I promise you I will devote every hour of my day to making sure that demonstrations will not occur that block people entering and exit buildings, that Jewish students will feel safe on campus, and that we will find solutions for the problems that are plaguing us.
That's the voice of Anthony Housefather, the Liberal MP for Mount Royal, speaking at a commemorative event on Sunday by the Montreal Jewish community to mark 6 months since October 7th. As you heard, he was dropping not-so-subtle clues as to why he decided to stay a Liberal and what role he hopes to play in what he expects will be a real gesture by the Trudeau government to show Jewish Canadians that the Liberals are hearing their fears and disappointment about living safely as Jews in this country right now. Whether that will be well-received remains to be seen. We don't have all the details, and Housefather can't say much more for now until it's announced. But he says it is one of the main reasons he made his decision not to quit the federal Liberals after all. Even though the party has in recent months seemingly pivoted away from its unrestricted support for the state of Israel. In the end, there were a couple of reasons why he decided he should stay where he is. Number one, the non-Jewish voters in his riding were not as concerned about the Liberal stance on Israel and Palestine as the Jewish ones are. Number two, the Conservative stand on fighting for more English language rights in Quebec is weaker than his own. And number three, Housefather was promised a very high-profile role, at least for the short term, until the next election, to help tackle rampant anti-Semitism in Canada.
And then I came to the conclusion that I will accomplish a lot more in the next 18 months being a point person on the anti-Semitism file than I would sitting in the opposition benches and joining hundreds of other people yelling and screaming at the government.
I'm Ellen Besner, and this is what Jewish Canada sounds like for Tuesday, April the 9th, 2024. Welcome to the CJN Daily. It's a podcast of the Canadian Jewish News and sponsored by Metropia. Anthony Housefather's choice has prompted criticism from some leading commentators, including Pierre Poilievre, the Conservative Party leader, and from Deputy Leader Melissa Lantzman, who said that staying in the Liberals now, after everything Housefather has said, is hypocritical. After March 18th, he did express his deep personal pain as he watched his government resume funding for UNRWA, call for a ceasefire, block weapon sales to Israel, criticize Israel's military operation in Gaza, and see hundreds of his Liberal colleagues enthusiastically vote yes to the NDP's anti-Israel motion. But Housefather is putting that behind him, it seems, as he confirms he has an action plan to help the Jewish community. He expects he'll work closely with Deborah Lyons, Canada's special envoy to combat anti-Semitism. Anthony Housefather joins me now from Montreal to tell us how he came to his decision and what comes next. The news came out in your newsletter on Friday that you decided to stay with the Liberal Party. When did you come to that decision?
Only in the 24 hours before I made it. I thought very, very hard about whether my voice continued to be important in the Liberal Party. And I came to two conclusions. One was that my voice, a pro-Israel voice, a centrist voice, was actually desperately needed in the Liberal Party. I think most Jewish Canadians align with the values of the Liberal Party, but have been concerned over the last few months about the tilt on Israel and are concerned that the party has drifted to the left and conservatives are too far to the right and there's nobody occupying the center. And for me, a centrist, fiscally responsible voice, a voice that talks about why we need to meet our NATO targets, why we need a strong defense, why we need to stand up for the Charter of Rights and stand up to provinces that violate the rights of minorities, including Quebec's use of the notwithstanding clause preemptively on Bill 21, Bill 96, etc. We need to return to the roots of the party. And I have a lot of allies in caucus that asked me to stay and fight with them on these issues. And so that was one really important thing. The second thing was the Prime Minister and the Deputy Prime Minister both reached out to me. And the Prime Minister talked to me at great length about anti-Semitism. And I told him how disappointed the Jewish community of Canada was, which he knew, at the lack of ability of governments at all level, federal, provincial, municipal, police, to deal with anti-Semitism in the country. And he asked me to work with him and Deborah Lyons on the anti-Semitism file. So to me, these two issues, beyond the fact that what I got from my writing was, I made it very public, very unusual. Usually when MPs are crossing the floor, they don't say a word. I wanted everyone to weigh in and get opinions because my residents deserve to be part of that decision. They don't deserve to be surprised. And what I found was that there were many within the Jewish community that wanted me to cross the floor, but I had virtually nobody who was not Jewish in my riding. And it seemed to be very much only members of my Jewish community that would have liked to see me cross the floor. And I was elected as a liberal. And if I don't have a real consensus in my riding of people who elected me as a liberal to do something, I don't think it's appropriate between elections for me to change party affiliation without a clear consensus of my constituents. And remember, in the new redistribution, Mount Royal is only 25.6 to 27% Jewish, right? So if my other constituents don't think that this is a good idea, and the Jewish ones weren't unanimous either, for a variety of reasons, then to me that was also, it also weighed into my mind. So I thought about all of this, and based on all of those different factors, I decided to stay.
At a speech Sunday night, you said you used to be an MP who was Jewish, and now you're a Jewish MP. What does that mean now? Are you going to sort of be the political Jewish special representative, special envoy for fighting anti-Semitism and remembering the Holocaust?
Well, the Prime Minister has asked me to work with him, Deborah Lyons, on this issue. I have no idea what, if anything, I will be doing other than actual work. We'll see in terms of, if there's anything that, that the Prime Minister specifically mandates, in terms of a title. I'm working right now with Deborah on a work plan. And that work plan will then go to the Prime Minister and we'll see what happens from that. But I will be very active working with Deborah and going across the country and speaking to municipalities about buffer zones. I will be speaking to college presidents and students on campus about my ideas and those ideas that Deborah has for making students safer on campus. I don't want to preempt our work plan, but my thought is there should be a protected space for demonstrations on campus that is not where people need to go into class or into dormitories. So every campus, I think, can find a location to permit demonstrations, but that, for example, in this context, Jewish students don't have to walk through it. And I'll be evangelizing that as well as evangelizing the need for universities to adopt the IRA definition. And we as a government also have
good luck with that, because there's the academic freedom issue, right? The whole professors are going to be like, nope, we're not. Most of the CAUT, the Canadian Association of University Teachers, and we don't have to go into the whole backstory, but they're all against it.
I understand the challenges, but the government of Canada, the government of Ontario, the government of Quebec, multiple provincial governments have all adopted IRA. We need as a federal government to come out with a handbook that explains how to implement IRA. And then we need to go evangelize why IRA is not as confusion and misleading statements about what IRA actually is are very problematic. And we need to explain why IRA is the world accepted definition of anti-Semitism, why governments across the world agreed on it, why, and why universities and others should implement it.
Let me ask you back to what we said earlier about your consultations with different people. You talked about your caucus. You talked about your people in your riding. What, if any, discussions were had with the Poilievre team, Pierre Poilievre, the conservative?
Oh, I would never speak to that. I had, as I said to you, everyone, I've had discussions with friends and colleagues who are from all parties. Liberals and conservatives, I mean.
But they didn't say no, or you're not saying.
I think that you can go back and listen to Melissa Lansman's interview where she talked about it. But again, to me, I don't see politics in black and white. I see it in gray. I don't believe the conservatives are my enemy. I don't believe that there's one party that's perfect and one party that's bad. There's pros and cons of everything. But I, in my heart, have realized that most of my values are more aligned with the Liberals. And I would say that one important component is I'm an English-speaking Quebecer as well as a Jew. And I am very deeply concerned about Quebec's use of the notwithstanding clause preemptively on Bill 21 and Bill 96, about our attacks on English school boards on Bill 40. And in these areas, the Liberal Party is vastly more sympathetic to the English-speaking minority of Quebec than the conservatives are.
Yeah, there's a lot of criticism of the party's stand on voting for that. Yeah,
and for the preemptive use of notwithstanding clause in the House, along with the Bloc. So to me, that was part of the equation too, right? If I was a Jewish person in Toronto, that may not be an issue for me, but it is being a Montrealer who, I am the one. Like, as much as I am an MP that represents the Jewish community across Canada, I'm also an MP, probably the MP that the English-speaking community in Quebec, all English-speaking Quebecers, whatever ridings they live in, look at to represent our community too. And those, so all of these things, came down to it, but I appreciated, I wanted to say, I appreciated the kindness shown to me by colleagues from both the Conservative and Liberal parties.
Okay. I did want to play this because it happened yesterday. Let me try to play it. Share my screen. It's 25 seconds because you mentioned Melissa Lansman. So I'm going to talk to you about it. Sunday, Pierre Poilievre was in Toronto at Beth Tikva. So he was criticizing the prime minister for saying one thing to one group and another thing to another group. He didn't mention you by name.
So for a local MP to say, well, I'm different than my prime minister, I might be in his party, is nothing more than hypocrisy. Because at the end of the day, that MP is keeping that prime minister and those policies in place. And so we need to be clear. My policies might always be popular, but I promise you one thing, I'll say them everywhere.
He didn't mention you by name, but it's a question I wanted to ask. What blowback? First of all, do you want to respond to that? And then we can ask, what other blowback have you gotten?
I continue to maintain the position that I've always taken, which is that in each riding, people should elect the member of parliament that best articulates for them, their views, their aspirations. I believe in each riding, you should elect your local MP. That's how our system works. And I will or will not support my party on different issues, right? I have a history of voting against the government on issues of deep concern to my community, whether it was the motion a couple of weeks ago, whether it was the language bill where Mr. Poilievre and his party also didn't support the English-speaking community of Quebec. I think in the end result, me, Marco Mendicino, and other MPs that stand with the Jewish community in our riding should be considering, do we articulate and effectively articulate their voices or not? And we need strong Jewish representatives in both political parties that alternate power in this country. If we just say that we're all going to one political party, then what happens when the other party is in power?
Go back to what he said, that you mentioned that you were worrying about your future. There was some talk of jumping.
Yep.
And now you're not. And so a lot of people that heard this, and I've heard it yesterday, a lot of people were really, even people that went to hear you in Florida at Century Village were like, I've heard him enough and I'm going to vote for the conservatives. And so I'm wondering, what are you hearing about this? Because people are upset. They thought you would go and now you're staying.
Well, again, I considered it. I think all Jewish Canadians right now, right, are looking at things from a very narrow lens. And I also have now prioritized issues that wouldn't have been the most important issue to me 6 months ago, but now is the most important issue to me. But I looked at it and said, politics is a long game. And what may be the most important issue today may not be the most important issue 6 months from now or 12 months from now. And do my values align the most with one place or another place? It doesn't mean that I don't think over the last few months I've been disappointed with my party's position on Israel. And I've been impressed with Mr. Polyev's clear articulation of support for Israel. But I've also articulated a clear support for Israel. And it's important for people to see that there's liberals that do that too. And all of these things weighed into the equation. Also, of course, I would point out that anybody who heard me in Florida that was there this weekend isn't in my riding, they're in Toronto. And from what I gather, while it's not unanimous, there's a very significant percentage of the Jewish community in Mount Royal that will still support me.
You're definitely right. These were Torontonians. Yeah.
Whether they're happy with the government or not, right? I'm not asking them to vote for a prime minister. I'm asking them to vote for me as a local MP. But it doesn't mean that I'm not acutely aware that the excellent record that I think we've compiled on our relationship with Israel from October 2015, when we were first in power, until October 2023, when the Hamas attacks occurred, have not been compromised since December, when the UN vote occurred. And part of my job and Marco's job is to try to rebuild the confidence of the community in the Liberal Party on Israel and try to push our position to return to the previously incredibly supportive position.
And again, if Marco, hang on. You mentioned Marco. Is he getting a job too? A new job too? Or
I didn't say I'm getting a new job. I'm just the point person, right? To me, the job is being a point person on anti-Semitism. We don't know what the actual job will be.
Right. But I'm saying, is Marco also involved with this, whatever you're going to do?
Well, I mean, all I could say is when I'm talking about Marco, I'm talking about like somebody who I work with all the time. And I certainly assume that if I start work, you know, when I work in the anti-Semitism file, that I'll be working closely with Marco and others, right? I was with Anna Ganey on Saturday at the Shar. Anna Ganey is also interested in working on the anti-Semitism file. I will bring together groups within caucus who are very interested in this issue to work with them. I don't plan to do, and neither Deborah or I want to work in a silo for sure. I want to work with all of my caucus members that are interested in this issue and with leaders of the Jewish community across the country and members of the Jewish community across the country.
Okay, well, we'll wait and see what happens when it happens. And we'll mention again that you haven't got your mandate or budget or any of that stuff.
Other than a commitment from the Prime Minister that I will work with Deborah and that we're preparing an action plan to show him. Yeah.
I'm very glad that you spent the 15 minutes with me. I appreciate it. Thanks. 22 minutes, and good luck.
Thank you. Take care.
And that's what Jewish Canada sounds like for this episode of the CJN Daily, sponsored by Metropia. Integrity, community, quality, and customer care. Now, one of the major issues for Canadian Jewish leaders in recent years has been federal funding to boost security and hire guards at Jewish schools and places of worship and other community buildings. After October 7th, Ottawa gave out $10 million to help faith communities at risk, including Jewish ones, to fortify their spaces and hire dedicated guards. But that money ran out at the end of March, and many communities who applied for these grants were turned down. Sources tell the CJN there could be a much larger infusion of money coming for these so-called SIP grants in the federal budget a little later this month. Thanks for listening to the CJN Daily.